The Hanged Man's Bride. The house was a genuine old house of a very quaint description, teeming with old carving and beams and panels, and having an excellent old staircase with a gallery or upper staircase cut off from it by a curious fence work of old oak, or of the old Honduras mahogany wood. It was, and is, and will be, for many a long year to come, a remarkably picturesque house, and a certain grave mystery lurking in the depth of the old mahogany panels, as if they were so many deep pools of dark water, such indeed as they had been much among when they were trees, gave it a very mysterious character after nightfall. When Mr. Goodchild and Mr. Idle had first alighted at the door and stepped into the sombre, handsome old hall, they had been received by half a dozen noiseless old men in black, all dressed exactly alike, who glided up the stairs with the obliging landlord and waiter, but without appearing to get into their way, or to mind whether they did or no, and who had filed off to the right and left on the old staircase as the guests entered their sitting-room. It was then broad, bright day, but Mr. Goodchild had said, when their door was shut, "Who on earth are those old men?" And afterwards, both on going out and coming in, he had noticed that there were no old men to be seen. Neither had the old men, or any one of the old men, reappeared since. The two friends had passed a night in the house, but had seen nothing more of the old men. Mr. Goodchild, in rambling about it, had looked along passages and glanced in at doorways, but had encountered no old men. Neither did it appear that any old men were, by any member of the establishment, missed or expected. Another odd circumstance impressed itself on their attention. It was that the door of their sitting-room was never left untouched for a quarter of an hour. It was opened with hesitation, opened with confidence, opened a little way, opened a good way, always clapped to again without a word of explanation. They were reading, they were writing, they were eating, they were drinking, they were talking, they were dozing. The door was always opened at an unexpected moment, and they looked towards it, and it was clapped to again, and nobody was to be seen. When this had happened 50 times or so, Mr. Goodchild had said to his companion, jestingly, "I begin to think, Tom, there was something wrong with those 6 old men." Night had come again, and they had been writing for 2 or 3 hours, writing, in short, a portion of the lazy notes from which these lazy sheets are taken. They had left off writing, and glasses were on the table between them. The house was closed and quiet. Around the head of Thomas Idle, as he lay upon his sofa, hovered light wreaths of fragrant smoke. The temples of Francis Goodchild, as he leaned back in his chair, with his 2 hands clasped behind his head and his legs crossed, were similarly decorated. They had been discussing several idle subjects of speculation, not omitting the strange old men, and were still so occupied when Mr. Goodchild abruptly changed his attitude to wind up his watch. They were just becoming drowsy enough to be stopped in their talk by any such slight check. Thomas Idle, who was speaking at the moment, paused and said, "How goes it?" 1, said Goodchild. As if he had ordered 1 old man, and the order were promptly executed, truly all orders were so in that excellent hotel, the door opened, and 1 old man stood there. He did not come in, but stood with the door in his hand. "One of the 6, Tom, at last," said Mr. Goodchild in a surprised whisper. "Sir, your pleasure?" "Sir, your pleasure," said the 1 old man. "I didn't ring." "The bell did," said the 1 old man. He said bell in a deep, strong way that would have expressed the church bell. "I had the pleasure, I believe, of seeing you yesterday," said Goodchild. "I cannot undertake to say for certain," was the grim reply of the 1 old man. "I think you saw me, did you not?" "Saw you," said the old man. "Oh, yes, I saw you. But I see many who never see me."